favorite game show. All I do is win, win,
win, no matter what. Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
Oh yes, it's another Sunday night's main event bonus holiday podcast. And over the next half hour or so, I invite you to test your knowledge of the performers from the WWE Attitude Era. And hey, if you do well, you should sign up to play. Each week on Sunday night's main event, we play a one-on-one trivia matchup and give away a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Want to be involved? Head on over to patreon.com/SNMEradio and sign up for this and all of our content. We're the only show that does wrestling trivia each and every week and gives you a chance to win a cool t-shirt. But for now, let's get to it. It's our second of three bonus podcasts, and this time, we're taking on the Attitude Era. On the line right now, we have our two competitors, 100% new to Turnbuckle Trivia. I welcome on Ray from Pittsburgh. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Great.
Good. Why did you choose to jump in this year and play the tournament?
Actually, as I listened to Turnbuckle Trivia last year and kind of played in my mind, I found that I would have done, I think, pretty well. So I thought it was worth taking a shot this year.
Ooh, throwing it on down. Well, your opponent is a veteran of Turnbuckle Trivia, but it's Paul from Toronto. And Paul, you didn't play in the tournament last year, right?
No, I didn't play in the tournament.
All righty, guys. Well, you are in the Ruthless... Nope. You are in the Attitude Era division this year, and as you know, each person gets assigned a wrestler. Your wrestler is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks that drives a girl.
So here we go. Five questions each, back and forth. Ray, you're player one, and we kick things off with your question of, who trained Shawn Michaels to be a wrestler? And in 1996, was used in a WWE angle.
Jose Lothario.
Wow, yep, that is correct. Very good. I'm not even sure if I would have got that one right. Paul, over to you for this one. In 1986, Michaels would team with Marty Jannetty in the AWA. What was their team name?
The Midnight Rockers.
Very good. They added the Midnight in. Very good. All right, Ray. The Rockers would win the WWF tag team titles once, but... it's not officially recognized by the WWE. It happened on October 30th, 1990. And who did they defeat?
The Hart Foundation.
With confidence, he says it. And yes, that is true. Very good. Now, Paul, over to you. When the Rockers broke up and HBK had Sensational Sherry as his manager, what did she carry to the ring?
A mirror.
Yes, she did carry a mirror. Very good. Perfect score so far. We go back to you, Ray, for this one. Michaels would have his first pay-per-view singles match at WrestleMania 8. Who did he defeat?
Tito Santana.
That's correct. I'll give it to you. He was El Matador at the time, but that works for me. Very good. Paul, to you. Michaels had a talk show style segment on WWF Superstars. What was it called?
The Heartbreak Hotel?
It was indeed. The perfect scores continue. Ray, in 1993, Diesel debuted as HBK's bodyguard. In 1995, they had split and faced each other in a match at WrestleMania 11. Who did Michaels debut as his bodyguard in that match?
Sid.
Sid is correct. Excellent. Paul, to you. Michaels was forced to retire in 1998 after suffering a back injury at the 1998 Royal Rumble. Versus whom?
The Undertaker.
Yeah, that's right. He faced him in a casket match and hit his back and destroyed his back. It's 4-4 as we go into the last question. Now, Ray, Michaels would not return full-time till 2002 when Nash invited him to be part of WWE's version of the NWO. However, it was on that same broadcast that who turned on HBK to start a feud?
Triple H.
That's correct. A perfect score for you. Paul, can you go perfect as well? Michaels is married to Rebecca Kirchy. She is a former Nitro girl. What was her Nitro girl name?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I'll say Shimmer.
It was not Shimmer. It was Whisper. And in a heated battle, Ray with a 5-4 victory has got it. just because that Nitro Girl knowledge isn't quite there, Paul. I'm sorry, my friend.
No problem. I gave it my best shot.
You did indeed. Ray, congratulations. You're into round two. I'll be getting in touch with you very soon.
Awesome. Thank you. Good game, Paul.
Good game, man.
Our next two combatants are on the line, and well, guys, your topic is one that we could not get through the 90s without talking about. If that's a hint at all, I'll reveal it in just a sec. But first of all, let's reveal our competitors, both new to the tournament this year. Curtis in Mountain View, California. How are you, Curtis?
Great. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing very well. And Kyle from West Virginia is your opponent. Kyle, you're into this? You feeling good?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Now, gentlemen, you do fall into the 90s as per your request. It's the Attitude Era, and it's pretty much the man who created the Attitude Era. Well, not created it, but was a huge part of it and led it. Stone Cold Steve Austin is your topic today. Five questions each, and we start with player one. That's you, Curtis. Your first question is, Steve Austin was given the last name Austin by Dutch Mantel. This was said to avoid confusion with whom?
Oh,
so he got.
I'm not sure I know.
He got the name to avoid confusion with what? With what other person?
Yeah, I don't know.
Correct answer is Dr. Death Steve Williams, because
that's right.
Austin's name is actually Steve Williams.
Yes, that's right.
Kyle, to you for the first question of your pack. When Austin was in WCW and teamed with Brian Pillman, what was the name of their tag team?
The Hollywood Blonde.
That's correct for your first point. Very good. Back over to you now. Curtis, Stone Cold is known for his stunner. Of course he is. It's said that he took that move from what ECW performer that called it the Whippersnapper?
Oh, God. I'm just going to name an ECW wrestler and hope. Tommy Dreamer.
It was not Tommy Dreamer. The Whippersnapper was, of course, Mikey Whipwreck's move, and that's who he took it from. Mikey Whipwreck. Kyle, to you. Austin did not use the stunner when he first entered WWF. What move did he use as his finisher?
The $1 Million Dream.
He did, of course, because he was the ringmaster with Ted DiBiase. Curtis, more of a name question here. Austin has told the story of his nickname, saying it was inspired by his then-wife, Jeannie Clark, a.k.a. Lady Blossom. What inspired the Stone Cold nickname? What was Jeannie talking about?
If I remember right, she was calling him to dinner and said, "Before your soup gets stone cold."
It was not soup.
Oh, darn it.
It was a cup of tea.
Ah.
She was English. It was a cup of tea. Oh, you were so close, but it was a cup of tea that I needed. Kyle, with this, you could put an end to Curtis. Austin's rise to stardom began when he won the 1996 King of the Ring, but he was not scheduled to win. Austin was put in the spot due to whom being punished?
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
That's correct. With a 3-0 victory. Curtis, I'm sorry. You can't come back. Tea gotcha, my friend.
Yeah. You can't do any more than I did. I mean, that's how it rolls sometimes. So good job.
Kyle, congratulations. You're on to round two, and I will be in touch with you very shortly to plan that out. Thanks for playing, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Two more players on the line. These combatants, we're going international on the show. Shane from the UK is on the line. Hello, Shane.
Hello.
You are playing against Damien from Pennsylvania. Hi, Damien. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jason?
Good. I'm doing all right. And guys, we are in the 90s with this one. And your wrestler is... Kevin Nash. If we can call him a wrestler. So with that in mind, let's go back in time to start things off. Shane, you are player one, and here we go. Kevin Nash, Shane, began his career in WCW and debuted with an orange mohawk as part of what tag team?
Oh, I don't know, because I only know him as Oz.
Shane, you also should not say things you may regret.
Sorry.
That's not bad for me, but might be bad for you. So no guess on this one?
No, sorry, no.
Master Blasters was the name of the tag team. Alrighty, Damien, your first question is, after becoming a singles performer known as The Master Blaster, Nash then was repackaged in 1991 as what cinematic-themed character?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. That one's beyond me.
Damien, I just want to point out you've proved you don't listen very well, because Shane has revealed this already. The answer is Oz. Come on! Gotta pay attention,
I forgot
guys.
About Oz. Yes.
You gotta listen to what each other's saying. You never know when a clue is gonna be given out. Shane, you are so lucky.
Yeah.
So lucky. Okay, here we go. Let's move on to 1992, guys. We're still in WCW, or Kevin Nash is still in WCW. He was repackaged again as what mobster-style character, Shane?
Vinny Vegas.
That is correct. Very good. Now, Damien, I'm going to keep with that. You see, Vegas spent a brief time managed by Harley Race initially, but was then recruited into a stable led by DDP. What were they called?
Oh, it was it the Diamond Dynasty?
Ooh, you're close. The diamond was in there, but it was the Diamond Mine. The Diamond Mine, where he kept picking out gems like Vinny Vegas, if you can call him a gem. Shane, we're into WWE now, because Nash would make his way to, well, WWF at the time, as Diesel. He was paired as Shawn Michaels' bodyguard, but what very 90s nickname was given to these two guys when they competed as a tag team?
The Two Dudes with Attitude.
What a terrible name. And that is absolutely correct. Two Dudes with Attitudes. Damien, let's get into this. Here we go. Two Dudes with Attitudes is where we left off, and we will continue on. You see, they would first lay claim to the WWF Tag Team Championship on August 28th, 1994. What tag team did they defeat?
Was it the Hart Foundation?
It was not the Hart Foundation. A bit beyond the Hart Foundation, because Brett was already a single by 94. The correct answer was the Head Shrinkers they defeated. Okay, so Shane, right now there's two questions that remain for each of you. Shane, you already have 2 points. So if you get this, you mathematically have defeated Damien. Here is your question. On November 26, 1994, Kevin Nash would win the WWF Championship for the first time. Who did he defeat?
Bob Backlund in Madison Square Garden.
He did in 8 seconds, and you knew that one, Shane. Very good. And unfortunately, Damien, I've got to say goodbye. Shane's gotcha.
Yeah, you got me on the one wrestler that I don't know much about.
Oh, sorry, guys. Well, sorry
it's
to you,
good.
Damien. Yeah, Kevin Nash, I managed to nab that one for you. Just randomly, I just spread out the 20 wrestlers that I did trivia about, and you got stuck with him, I guess, in this case. Shane, he must be one of your favorites of all time.
The Royal Rumble 1994 was the second WWF VHS I ever bought.
Really? Well, there you go. You answered mostly from even before that, but you did great, Shane, and congratulations. You're headed into the second round. I'll be in touch with you shortly.
Thank you very much.
Two players on the line. We are right in the thick of the 90s here, and we're talking to Dan from Toronto as player one. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to dominate the 90s division. I'm a Groove Station compilation.
All right, there you go. That is his version of the Attitude Era. You are playing against Bob from Scranton. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well, thanks, Jason.
Now, Bob,
I have a good comeback for that.
You played in the tournament last year, though, Bob, correct? How did you do?
I did. I lost 5-4 in the first round. I forgot that the first Royal Rumble was in Hamilton.
Oh, yes. You had a Canadian question. Well,
question for, yeah.
Oh, and I'm looking down at your sheet right now, and there is a Canadian question. So we'll see. We'll see what that brings about. But you don't at least have a Canadian wrestler. We're in the 90s, and you have one half of the Outsiders. You have Scott Hall. Dan, you're player one. Bob, you're player two. Here we go. Ducking into the history books for your first question, Dan. After starting his career in the NWA, Hall moved to the AWA in 1986. He formed a tag team and won the tag belts with whom?
Oh, that's tough. Kurt Hennig?
Yes, that's correct. Very good. My goodness, Dan. That's an old one. Now, Bob, I'm going to go to you for this one and move up to 1991. He would move to WCW and debut as what character?
The Diamond Stud.
That's correct. The Diamond Stud. All right, Dan. Hall would then move over to the WWF in 1992, of course, as Razor Ramon. This character was based on what film character?
Oh, that'd be Scarface.
Yes, it would. Scarface. Tony Montana. Very good. Bob, to you. Razor would make his WrestleMania debut at WrestleMania 9. What former champion did he defeat?
Bob Backlund.
That's correct. Very good, guys. I mean, your own namesake there, so that's good. It's 2-2. Dan, I feel as though you got the easy question, and it's this one. On May 17th, 1993, it's an episode of Raw. Razor would lose an upset of a match to whom?
Oh, the Kid.
Yes, the Kid, who then became the 1-2-3 Kid. All right, Bob, here is the question I was speaking of. Let's see if you can get it. In October of 1993, a now babyface Razor Ramon would end up the final two in a Raw Battle Royal. He would then go on to face and defeat what Canadian for his first ever Intercontinental title win?
Rick Martel.
That is correct, Bob.
Whoa.
You've destroyed the Canadian curse that was hovering above you. Very good. I would not have got that one. Not a chance. That was a hard one. Okay, Dan, back to you for this one. When Hall formed the Outsiders with Nash in WCW, they first won the tag team titles at Halloween Havoc 1996. Who did they defeat?
The Steiner Brothers?
That's incorrect.
No!
It's Harlem Heat.
Nah.
All right. Now, Bob, you know, I gave Dan that 1-2-3 Kid question. I felt that was easy, so I wanted to even it up here. At Starrcade 1998, Hall would assist Nash in winning the WCW title from Goldberg by using what foreign object?
The shock stick.
Yeah, the taser, the shock stick, the cattle prod, all of those are just fine. No problem. Okay, that evened it up. So, Dan, this is pressure time for you. If you don't get this, Bob gets the victory. Hall and the NWO would return to WWE in 2002. Who did he have a match with at WrestleMania 18?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's correct. Were you there, Dan, since you live in Toronto?
I was not.
Oh, I'm surprised. I thought that would
be a
yes. All righty. Bob, this could be for the win, but it's a TNA question. Hall would then find his way to TNA, and he was back and forth in the organization. So let's fixate on 2010. He would reunite with Nash, Six-Pack, as he was then called, and Hogan. Since they could not use the NWO name, what name did they use? Now, remember, there were multiple incarnations. I need 2010 with those four.
They were the band?
They were the band. Oh. My goodness, you are correct. And I was sure you were going to say Kings of Wrestling. You got it. Congratulations, Bob. A perfect score. Dan, Harlem Heat gotcha.
Bob, you carved me up, man.
Good job, man. Those were tough. Some of those were tough.
They were tough ones. You guys got 9 out of 10. That's definitely one of the better showings. So congratulations, Bob. You're into round 2. I'll be in touch in regards to when we're taping that. Dan, thanks for playing the game, and I hope to chat with you on a midweek markout soon.
Sounds like fun.
Well, our next wrestler was part of the Attitude Era. He's also kind of part of the Ruthless Aggression Era. And you know what? He tiptoed into the 80s as well. But we will get to that in just a sec. First, let's reveal our players. And they are Darcy from Sudbury. How are you, Darcy?
Pretty good.
Good. Did I scare you off with me describing this wrestler?
No.
No? Okay, good, good. Now, you're playing against Sam from Seattle. Now, Sam, you played in the tournament last year. How did you do?
I did pretty good.
Okay. You get a couple wins?
I got a couple wins.
Okay.
I think I made it to the right before the semis.
Okay, so quarterfinals. All right, well, let's see what you do this year. And this year, your first round topic, gentlemen, is The Undertaker. So here we go. Let's learn a little bit about him, going way back to kick things off. Darcy, first question is for you. Before he was The Undertaker in WWF, what was the gimmick name he used in WCW?
Mean Mark Callis.
That is correct, Darcy. Very good. All right, Sam, to you. Now, Mean Mark was thrust into being Sid Vicious's replacement as the partner of Barry Windham. What was their tag team called?
Oh. Tower of Power?
No, it was not. It was the Skyscrapers. You had the whole tower thing in regards to being tall, but they were the Skyscrapers. Darcy, to you, when Undertaker made his debut at Survivor Series 1990, who was his manager?
Brother Love.
That is correct. Very good. Some people mistake it for DiBiase, but it was indeed Brother Love. Now, Sam, let's go back to those early days of The Undertaker and the character. What would he do to his jobber opponents after defeating them?
Put them in a body bag.
Yes, he would. I had completely forgotten that until I researched this. Yeah, he put them in a body bag and carry them away. Very good. All right, that point is for you, Sam. Excellent. Darcy, to you. The Undertaker, of course, was well known for his streak at WrestleMania. Who is his first victim?
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
That is correct. Very good, Darcy, with confidence. Now, Sam, let's talk about the streak, because the only disqualification win in his streak was versus Giant Gonzalez and was due to the use of what?
Was it the urn?
No, it wasn't. It was chloroform. He put chloroform on a rag and covered the Undertaker's face and got him disqualified because he knocked him out. So that is incorrect. And the announcer is just shouting, chloroform, I can smell it, chloroform. Yes, I went back and watched wrestling for a lot of this. Okay, Darcy, here we go. Now, Darcy, if you get this, you have a mathematical win. The Undertaker would win his first championship by defeating Hogan at Survivor Series 91, who assisted in this victory by slipping a chair into the ring.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair with confidence, and four confident answers gets you the win, because Sam, I'm sorry, but you can't catch up, my friend. But so this year, a first-round bump. Sam, I wish you better luck next year, but I'm sure I'll talk to you well before then with a regular Turnbuckle Trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Darcy from Sudbury, congratulations. You're into round two.
Thank you.
Well, I believe in our next game here, we have a slight Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament celebrity on the line. And that is Jason from Kentucky. Jason, your name has already been brought up in the podcast because you were the person who, while on the assembly line, won the first round last year, correct?
Yep, sure did.
And then you lost in the second round when you were not working.
No, I was grocery shopping, or about to go grocery shopping, and lost.
What are you doing this year? Are you doing anything?
No, I'm at home. I had a long day at work, so I was chilling at home waiting for this game show.
All right. Well, that doesn't bode well for you, knowing your history then. You're playing against Eric from Minneapolis. Eric, you played last year as well. How did you do?
I did. I won in the first round in the Battle of Minnesota.
There you go. All right. So you were both winners in the first round last year. The unfortunate part about going against each other this year is one of you won't be. So let's see how it goes. Gentlemen, the wrestler that you have been assigned is Mick Foley. So here we go. Jason, first question is for you. When Mick Foley first appeared as a jobber in WWF, what name did he go by?
I don't know. You got me.
It was either Jack Foley or Nick Foley that he went by there. Okay, Eric, over to you. Now, Foley, of course, has a distinct look, missing his two front teeth. How did he lose them?
Wasn't that from the Hell in a Cell match when he fell?
It was not, actually. He didn't have the two front teeth there. He used to wear a plate, but he lost them in a car accident years ago. Listen, it was my research. I had no idea. I researched, and I'm like, really? A car accident? How about that? You'd expect it to be in a ring. All right, Jason, back to you for this one. Now, Foley's ear was torn off during a match in Germany with whom?
Was it Vader?
It was Vader. Very good. All right, back to you, Eric, for this one. Foley would then move on to ECW after his first WCW run. He would debut on May 31st, 1994, as the mystery partner of whom?
You said, sorry, you said 1994?
It was 1994, May 31st, mystery partner of whom?
I'm just going to throw out a guess here of Chris Jericho.
It was not Chris Jericho. It was actually Sabu's mystery partner. All right, we're going to stick with ECW to keep it even, Jason, and here's your question. Because Foley would win the ECW Tag Team Championships on two occasions, who was his partner both times?
Was it Terry Funk?
It was not Terry Funk. That's an excellent guess, but it was actually Mikey Whipwreck was his tag team partner. All right, Eric, back to you for this. Now we're getting to WWF here, okay? Now, when Mankind debuted, he did so in a series of boiler room vignettes in which he talked to a rat. What was that rat's name?
Oh, good Lord. I feel like I should know this, but I don't. I'll just throw out a guess. Jack?
It was not. It was George. The rat's name was George, and then just disappeared after a while. Here we go, Jason. Your next question is, Foley would debut his Dude Love character in WWF as the mystery tag team partner for whom?
Oh, man. Was it The Rock?
It was not The Rock. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was begging Steve to be his partner, and Steve didn't want Mankind as his partner, so he became Dude Love and then tagged in, and boom, they won the tag titles. Now, Cactus Jack, though, Eric, he would also make his debut in WWF or WWE in a Falls Count Anywhere match on Raw on September 22nd, 1997. Who is his opponent?
Cactus Jack, 97. I'm going to guess it wouldn't be Ken Shamrock.
It was not Ken Shamrock. This was, of course, the famous vignette of the three faces of Foley and where it all began. And the correct answer was his opponent was Hunter Hearst Helmsley for that match. It is 1-0 right now as we go into the final question for each of you. So, Jason, that means if you get this, even though you're not at work, you've won. So here we go.
All right.
Who was Mick Foley trying to amuse when Mr. Socko first made its debut?
Would that be Vince McMahon?
It was Vince McMahon in the hospital, and that is the second correct answer. And I'm sorry, Eric, but you cannot catch up. So that means, Jason, congratulations. Once again, round two for you.
All right. Sounds good, bro.
I look forward to talking to you at work for round two. Eric, I'm sorry, my friend, but he got you. Thank you for playing the game.
Hey, thanks a lot.
He knows caution to the wind. He doesn't care about himself. You'd really be a fool to think he cares about someone else. He's not really much of keeping the action in the ring. Cause broken bones on a concrete floor are really more his thing. He's not on a team or a member of a gang. He's Cactus Jack, or better known as Mr. Bang Bang.
Two more players on the line, and we are getting into it here. This is a bit of an interesting one for the 90s era, but I guess out of all of the characters that we've heard already, he was on the other side of the line for most of this. I'll explain it when we get to it. Player one is Henry from Las Vegas. Henry, how confident are you feeling?
Pretty confident right now.
Dom is your opponent. Dom is from Toronto. Dom, how you feeling?
Good.
All right, good stuff. Guys, here is your character. It is Sting. We're going to learn all about Sting. Five questions each, and Henry, you're player one. So here we go. First of all, what is Sting's real name?
Steve Borden.
That is it. As easy as that. Very good. First point is there for Henry. Question two is for Dom. Dom, early in his career, Sting was in a tag team with Jim Hellwig. He, of course, would become the Ultimate Warrior. What was their tag team name together?
Oh.
A pass.
Pass. It is the Blade Runners, or I would have also accepted Freedom Fighters or Power Team USA. All right, here we go. Back to you, Henry. Sting made his... He got his first chance at the NWA title on March 27th, 1988. It was on a free wrestling TV show on TBS that aired head-to-head against WrestleMania 4. What was the name of that TV special?
Man, I was like 8 years old. Yeah. I believe that was the Clash of Champions.
You got it right. I was 6 at the time. I was 10, and I don't remember it because we're up here in Canada. But in the U.S., I guess you got it, and you got it right. Congratulations. Very good. All righty, here we go. Now, Dom, you're getting a ludicrous question here. Not ludicrous hard, but just ludicrous. You've seen this clip for sure. Sting faced Ric Flair at Clash of Champions and continued to feud with Flair and the Horsemen on and off for years. Now, on May 19th, 1990, at an event called Capital Combat, in a ridiculous moment, what character saved Sting from a Horseman beatdown?
I believe that was RoboCop.
It was RoboCop in an awful, awful WCW moment. I had to get it in there. All right, moving along from that. On July 7th, this one's for you, Henry. July 7th, 1990, Sting would defeat Flair for the NWA title at 1990 Great American Bash. But Sting would then be taunted and attacked by a mysterious man with a gravelly voice. What was that character's name?
Shoot. I wanted to say...
Any guess?
I'm running blank. I know it was like an alter ego of Ric Flair's. I forgot what his name.
You're buzzed out on it. That's a little too long. The correct answer was the Black Scorpion.
Scorpion. That's what I thought it was.
All righty. Well, here we go. We're going over to you. And Dom, you can even it up here. Who turned out to be the Black Scorpion?
I think it was finally Ric Flair.
It was Ric Flair. I didn't want to say anything, Henry, but you kind of gave it away. I thought maybe he'd choose someone else. But very good, Dom. If you didn't know, you paid attention, but it sounded like you knew. All right, question 4. It's 2-2 right now. And Henry, this one is for you. Sting was a part of the first ever edition of Monday Nitro. Who did he have a match with?
Wasn't Lex Luger, no. No, it wasn't Lex Luger, no. I pass.
You're going to pass. It was the answer you were going to answer and kind of gave away last time. If all else fails, you choose Ric Flair. And Ric Flair was who he wrestled on both the first and the last edition of Monday Nitro. That is a strike for you there. All right, we go back to Dom. Dom, now just after the NWO began, a fake Sting showed up in WCW. Who played fake Sting?
I don't think anyone knows that. I'm going to have to pass.
It was Jeff Farmer who played. Ugh. He actually just passed away either earlier this year or last year. So that's why his name was in the news. I thought you might be able to remember it. Okay, it's 2-2. We go to the final question. That was a hard one. So, Henry, this one for you. Now, I mentioned earlier that Sting won the NWA title in 1990 when he defeated Ric Flair. He would then win it again 16 years later. It was on October 22nd, 2006. And who did Sting defeat for the NWA title?
In 2006. The NWA TNA, I want to say Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe is incorrect. The correct answer was the guy who founded the NWA at that time, TNA, Jeff Jarrett was the correct answer there. All right, we go on to a short-lived WCW career for Sting, Dom. His Sting's first ever appearance in a WWE ring was at Survivor Series 2014. Who did he give the Scorpion Death Drop to?
Seth Rollins?
It was not Seth Rollins. Seth was his final match, and the buckle bomb is what cost him his career due to his neck. It was actually Triple H that he showed up with and gave the Scorpion Death Drop to. Well, with that, we have ourselves a tie. So we've gone to a tiebreaker, and with the help of editing, I've already got your answers. The question was, what is the current combined age of Sting and Ric Flair? And Henry, what was your answer?
111.
Dom, what was your answer?
110.
Incredible. You guys guessed one apart. And in this case, It actually does work with the closest two without going over. Sting is 60. Ric Flair is 70. The correct answer is 130. Henry, by the skin of your teeth, congratulations. You're into round two.
Sweet. Thank you.
Well, that wraps up this bonus trivia edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. And if you did well and want to play, remember, get on over to patreon.com/SNMEradio. Get into the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament for next year. Play a regular game of Turnbuckle Trivia. And of course, get our Sunday Night Show and all the shows we do. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. Don't you dare miss it.